Welcome to the Cognitive Rampage Podcast. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you're living your cognitive rampage. This cognitive rampage I did as Hurricane Matthew was making landfall around Fort Lauderdale type area, a little bit north, or at least to where it started affecting Orlando, where I am. So the plan was to podcast until the power went out. It never did. So I rambled for quite a while. And had a couple topics I was going to talk about, but my phone died, and I lost those topics. I could remember a few, but I get to those. I cover a bunch of them. And the podcast just jumps right in with me kind of rambling about music. And what you missed was, well, YouTube kicked this off, so I had to edit them out, and we did. So I spent the first half getting carried away with my music, and I was playing the intro songs that I play every time before a podcast. As you learned and will hear me rant about again a little bit, I have a structured way that I start a show, a routine. And I played those songs at the beginning of this one, but I had to take them out, obviously. And they're out now. So forgive me if it just seems like I'm all of a sudden in a rampage about music, because I had played those three songs and a fourth one, which I had loved very, very, very much. And it's gorgeous. And I actually went through that beautiful song. It was the Bach song that I talked about with Christian. But yeah, so I jump right into music. But I do cover a lot of topics. I talk about the locus theory, what I call the locus evolution, human theory. It's not a theory, but it's just a concept. But I go there. I can't even tell you. You know how I do when I start rambling in my rampage, especially when I was waiting for a hurricane to shut the power off. So this is episode 99. I cover a lot of things, and I got to cover two more things. DollarMentalHealthClub.com. Yep, that's me. You can actually work with me. Mental training is awesome. How's that for an advertisement? Now, look, the idea is I wanted to offer something to people that just weren't in the mood for therapy, or maybe not necessarily need therapy, if you will, that are about practicing in the present, that are about working to a solution in the present, not digging up pasts and pains and working all this therapeutic approach, but literally where I will teach you the tools of psychology, the tools that counselors use, rather than use them on you as a counselor psychologist. It's teaching you those tools, walking you through that. You go to DollarMentalHealthClub.com. Try that again. Go to DollarMentalHealthClub.com. You simply, it's very easy. You pick a 15-minute, 30-minute, 45, or 60-minute workout. Book that. You pick the day. You pick the time. And I will call you. That's it. That's how easy it is. I know it's kind of awkward. Don't worry. I'll break the ice really quick. So as soon as we're getting to work, it's about getting some mental training in, getting some preventive measures, working through the present right then. I promise you, you will not walk away like, that was a waste. You may say, fuck you, Adam. You know, I used to say when I was a therapist and a clinical counselor, if you're not telling me fuck you once a week, I'm probably not doing my job right. So it's very kick in your front door psychology, right? We get in there, we're working out something to get to a place. It's not about let's hash and talk through it, right? It's about solutions and getting to it. And that's mental training, Dollar Mental Health Club. And lastly, MyCotee. I always spell it MyCotea, MyCotea, original nectar of the gods, probiotic, artisanal blend. Oh, yeah. It's a healthy drink. It's the pH of the water that I always talk about. That's the clean part. That's what mattered a lot to me, really. It also happens to have probiotics in it, but the idea is that the pH level is way beautiful. It's like 2.6, 2.7, or something like that. I don't know. It's gorgeous. But it also happens to have the mushroom nectar of the gods in it. No, you're not going to sing green people and have revelations that make you change your life, etc. Not yet, anyway. You never know in the future. But for now, this keeps you healthy, heals you up, keeps your gut clean. It's good. It tastes good, too. I told you I don't represent any product that I don't use myself or don't like. I do drink MyCotea. I love it. Look, if you have any questions about this, just go to drinkmycotea.com. That's MyCotea. Drinkmycotea.com. Hell, tell Alfred that you heard it on the Cognitive Rampage. That's my buddy Alfred, man, down Fort Pierce, West Palm area. Give him a shout out. Maybe he'll hook you up. Maybe he'll do a favor for you. I don't know. Sorry if I put you out there, Alfred. My bad, bro. But let him know if you heard it from here. Mike OT, it's good stuff. I love it. On the podcast today, as I explained, I hope you enjoy this one. This is me, myself, and Adam with my guest, Hurricane Matthew.
Jump in, like, why I play that music. And when I do an Adam's Rampage, a Hurricane Rampage, by the way. As you'll find out, I'm going to post a podcast tomorrow. My friend Christian Edmonds was in the podcast, a dude way smarter than me. But we chatted for like 2 or 3 hours. And, you know, I've had a lot of guests on the podcast. I mean, shit, this is Adam's Rampage. This is what, episode 99, something like that. And that's, man, that's a lot of episodes. But anyway, Christian, being quite observant, picked up on something that we talked about actually on the opening podcast. You can watch it on YouTube right now, though, but it's episode 98 with him. But anyway, otherwise, the podcast will be on iTunes and all that shit tomorrow. But anyway, he pointed out, and I thought it was funny, that I was playing these three songs, right? And before we go live, he was in the cave sitting across from me over there. Sorry you can't see me right now. I may cut a light on later, but it just seemed really fucking bright. But anyway, but I got like lucky candles lit and shit. So check this out. I mean, we are riding out a hurricane, right? So you got to have the candles ready when you're doing what you're doing. Hope you're prepared. Candles and beer. Right, that's probably not good. But anyway, he pointed out I was playing these three songs. And in these three songs, he wanted to play a song. He was like, hey, man, have you heard this before? I was like, no, I haven't heard it. I can't remember the song. And I said, no, I can't play it. And he was like, whoa, why? And I'm like, because there's like a ritual. Like I play these three songs. Sometimes there's a fourth that comes in depending on, and you know, who's in the studio or whoever I'm talking to. But I play those three songs. And then he goes, wait a minute. So you mean you have a structured ritual before you start a stream of consciousness podcast? And I was like, shit. Yeah, I'm a fucking conundrum. Wow. But he pointed that out. So sometimes when I do an Adam's Rampage and I go off like this and I hang out and it's just me and a blue moon. You could drink a blue moon at your nearest any grocery store anywhere you want to. But no, when I do Adam's Rampage like that. So I figured, you know what? I'll play the three songs on, you know, on the mic like that. So for people that tune in that hate that shit, I'm sorry. Haystack means a lot to me, man. Jason Winfrey, etc. I've actually, my manager, best friend / Danny's reached out a bunch of times trying to get him on the podcast. I've reached out once or twice, but anyway, I play these old, I've gotten shit about it too. Don't get it twisted. You know, people have emailed me like, why the fuck would you play that ghetto shit? Whatever. But for me, if you've read my book or gone through it, you understand that I talk about shedding a lot of the old things, environment, just to sum it up, people, places, things, right? We shed these things. But, and even the people, we don't have to forget that, because when you become strong enough in yourself, you can return to those things and they don't have that power over you. You don't let a place have that kind of power over you, even a person. So there's parts about that old lifestyle I used to live that I liked, that had drive behind it, had motivation, right? It had something, but it reminds me of that, right? But it also reminds me where I come from, that no matter how many downloads or whatever happens with the podcast or how many books, or it doesn't matter, that, you know, the struggle that we all experience in our own way, that we felt, that we lived through. And actually, Christian Moore, you got to listen to that podcast. It's good. He's like a Mensa member person. So he's like way fucking smart. But anyway, he brought up that the music that we listened to in our 20s, actually early 20s, like 20, 21, this time, that ends up being the music that generally, for the most part, sticks with us for most of our life. So whatever you listen to, you know, 21, 20 years old, 22, this is the music you typically, that sticks with you as you get older in age. So ask yourself now that if you really play the music that you really listen to back when you're early 20s and shit. I know I do, but sometimes it reminds me of, you know, a bleak outlook that I held close. You know, I lived with this very bleak fuck it attitude. You know, even in the book, I called it the fuck it philosophy, you know, and I lived by that kind of fuck it philosophy. And sometimes, well, not sometimes, that fucking philosophy will fuck you up. Let's just be honest, you know. But to understand, and it sounds cliche, right, when you say forget where you come from, right? But it's, I think it's important to remember where you come from, but not to to dwell in where you come from, right? There's a difference, I think, between knowing where you come from, what you've been through, and utilizing, you know, that energy, right? I'll even talk about anger for a minute, that, you know, I do a lot of talks about anger not being real, et cetera, but it really stems from hurt and fear. But anger is, let's be honest, is a direct emotion that that humans have learned. So it's not always a bad thing. You can use anger in a good way. You can channel that anger toward activities. You know, I'll be damned if I'm not going to make this work, or I'll be damned if I'm going to be too scared to do a show or try my own video, whatever that is, right? And channeling that properly, man, I went off on some fucking tangent in left field, but that's what I do. So my point was, look, that's kind of why I'm sitting here. And I'm going to probably date myself. So this is probably a bad thing, because like old movie reference jokes are usually pretty shitty. But there's a movie that Nicolas Cage did back in the day, man, Gone in 60 Seconds. And he talked about whether it was time yet, right? And truth be told, since I'm transparent, you can't see me right now, the lighting's just shit. I can cut on all the studio lights and then it gets so fucking bright. It's just weird. But anyway... And the Gone in 60 Seconds, what I used to do back in the day is sometimes I'd roll something very nice, beautifully. I took my time to roll it. I was proud of it. And my best friend, Danny, who would be with me, would be waiting for me to light this thing. And I would fucking wait. He would get so angry and I'm go, it's not time yet. It's not time yet. It's not ready. Just not. And then randomly, sometimes an hour later, it would just be lit, right? So in that movie, Gone in 60 Seconds with Nicolas Cage, remember, there's a part when they're all about to try to save his little brother, and you got the new era carjackers and the old schoolers, and they're all about to go out together, and he's like, Johnny, hit it, right? And he plays that lowrider tune, right? And they're waiting for a minute, and all the youngins are looking around like, what the fuck are these old mother, you know? And he says, wait, and he puts his hands up, and he shakes them for a minute, and he's like, let's ride. That's kind of what I mean by when it's time yet, you know? So for me, people that guests that have been over and been on the podcast, love you all, that have been in the cave and have gone through the rituals with me before we cut on the microphones or before we go live, part of it is some of that song. And let me tell you, when I interview doctors or something like that, or these very esteemed academics, not all of them, now some of them are cool as shit. And not to say if you don't like it, you're not cool. It's just, it's subjective anyway. But it's funny when, you know, the cognitive guy, author dude, who then goes, hold on, Dr. So-and-so, we can't start the podcast yet. Let me play these songs. The look, because sometimes I leave the camera off, right? Or like if Steve is doing something remotely, right? We'll do like this. So then they're just looking at that. And I'm like, yo, hold on, Dr. So-and-so, it's not time yet. And it gets to like that Gone in 60 Seconds shit. And then, you know, we're going to talk addiction and theoretical perspective. And then I'm like, wait, one second. Oh, like seriously. Oh, seriously. Come on. Oh, that's ridiculous. Oh, that I'm serious. I'm sorry. If you can't listen to that song, something like is wrong. It's hard not to listen to that song beautifully and not think, oh, that's why we were allowed to hear. That's why. Oh, I mean, I'm sorry, man. It's amazing how, I don't know. I love my fucking music. I don't know about you all. I swear there's a music god somewhere. There's like a music god that like follows around or some shit. I'm telling you, plays like the right song at the right time. Have you ever been there? Have you been like riding in your car, or you hit shuffle on your shit, right? Like, come on, music gods, give me that song. And either, you know, something, you know, and the song plays and you're like, shit, how did they know I need to fucking so hear that song right now? You know, I wonder if we can like magically channel like, I don't know, moments or music or instances. I mean, look how far the mind has come. And I mean, just talk about manifestation itself, you know, and the ideas of that. I mean, you think about a friend and they call, you know, someone you haven't talked to in a while. I mean, these could be real, you know, real fucking things, man. You know, that, wow, that's crazy, man. But, you know, I shared, well, pretty much I fast forward to the other two songs, but those two or three Haystack songs. And then once in a while I play that Bach, man. Oh, And that note, I'm telling you, look that shit up. It sounds funny when I say it, though, but it's Bach in the G string. Nothing you really want to look at, but no, it's all played in that one note. It is just, oh, it's gorgeous, man. I'm telling you. And if you're a fan of music and you play that song and you can just sit there in it. And like before I told you, like before I played, I was like, imagine your life, right? If this was like a soundtrack from like the beginning to the end, you know, of what your life is like, you know, it hits it, man. You know, it brings me on another point that, you know, we talk about, you know, people having gifts or whatever, or, you know, you're born with a talent or some shit about finding it or whatever. But I don't know. Maybe we find them. Maybe we don't. Maybe, you know, like purpose, we subjectively declare it or some shit. But, you know, I have an odd way of feeling people's pain. And I don't really even have to know you. You know, you can walk by me. You can walk near me even. And people that have hung out with me before, they know, you know, that I can. It's weird, man. I'm telling you, it sounds crazy. But maybe you do too. You know, maybe you have that feeling. And I can pick up on people's energies and especially people's pain. You know, and it's not like I pick on people's energy like they're good people, bad people. We all have our own ways of shaking hands and knowing. You know, but that's not really what I mean. I'm just more the pain, right? That I can somehow oddly feel when I meet somebody or shake their hand or some shit like that. It's I don't know. It's touching. But when I worked in the clinics or anywhere else doing the counseling, some of the older counselors, no discrimination or disrespect to age whatsoever. I respect my elders. But those that had been in the game a long time sometimes would walk up to me and commonly tell me that you have a way with the worst. And sometimes I didn't know how to fucking take that, right? I'm like, I have a way with the worst. Well, what are you saying about the person for one? And, you know, what the fuck, you know? And many times, you know, therapists that I work with would transfer their so-called difficult quote mark patients, you know, into my group. And there's names in my head I won't put out that are close to my heart that I remember and that I think about all the time that are out there on that recovery grind or changing their life grind, whatever it is, and some that have made it too, you know. But it does make you wonder, you know, that it was true, you know. Like, I'm just pointing the shit out. I was good. I could reach the worst sometimes. And maybe you can too. Maybe you feel that idea that, you know, you can reach out to what they call or deem the worst. You know, to me, what they deem the worst, I deem the people that are missing the most love. You know, the people that are trying to deal with the most hurt. You know, I don't see that person as, you know, the worst patient or client or friend, you know. There's just, you know, anger is pain, anger is hurt, anger is fear, etc. That's what those things are. But the more that I learn about the people that are joining that Tribe of Change group that's on there on the Facebook thing, I know it's social media. It's weird, but it's still, that's the era we live in. You know, you can meet certain people that way, but you start to see that, A, you're not alone. You know, you start to see that you're not alone in the worry of humanity or the future. You know, you start to see, and I'm kind of talking to those that possibly feel like the lone wolves out there, that feel like they're trapped in between space and time, you know, between the what you're supposed to do and what you want to do or what you believe in. You know, I feel those people really close, you know, and somehow you can correlate that to I reached the AKA so-called worst of the worst. But I can tell you in the AKA so-called worst of the worst that I've met and dealt with, myself being one of those categorized at one point in my life, I've probably learned the most from. You know, through that pain that we feel and what we've experienced, we gain wisdom, knowledge, experience, you know. I used to tell some of the people I'd work with, I'm like, look, how dare you not share the wisdom and knowledge you've learned or earned from, you know, the struggles or pain that you've been through. Tangential much? But if the talent is to reach those that have been through the pain, well, then I'm going to fully connect that, or go further, if you will. I was trying to connect further and fully, but I'm going to go further and say that if that's who this speaks to, and that's who I'm talking to, that listen to this, that play these podcasts, that share these podcasts, that really believe in something different and a change in power, that may think like me, that society may deem as the worst of the worst, well, then I'll put that mask on right there, and I'll fucking lead that legion anytime. And I'll lead that AKA socially described worst of the worst, if that's the legion you want to give me. Because if that's the soldiers in the army behind any change, I'm going to take that fucking army any fucking time. And, you know, so if you listen to this, if you follow this podcast, if you're trying to live your rampage or find your functional rampage, or if you're a functional patterns crossover, or if you're, I don't know, something else, then, you know, I don't know, keep pushing, keep driving for that. You know, people are looking for that. You know what I mean? They, I don't know, I guess we're not all as alone as we think we are in whatever it is that we do. You know what I mean? Whether, no matter what we're doing in life or anywhere else. But a lot of times, it gets tough. It gets tough without the support. You know, the difference between, well, not the difference, but I would tell you, you know, to do something different, to go against the sheep, it takes courage. You know, and like my mama told me, courage doesn't always roar. You know, it doesn't always speak loud on a mic. It doesn't always lead movements or protests. Sometimes that courage is shown differently by different people for different reasons. And then bravery. You know, a lot of people say you got to be courageous and brave. And bravery, I'd look at as being a little more difficult, because I can't remember the movie it was quoted from or something, but you know, they define bravery as knowing what will happen, but you go anyway. That's got to be brave, when you know what may happen at the end of something, but you go anyway. You know, I think courage is not knowing what will happen, but you have to go based on principle, based on what's happening. And what I do with this podcast and the mission that I put forth or push forward, that's the courage and the bravery it takes, because I generally know what's going to happen is minimal change. Minimal people will listen and wake up or try to affect change in other ways. And the courage, because I don't know what will happen, but things are violating principles that I hold dear in my heart, and things that are in my lane, things that we can affect. You know, I was on the Tribe of Change posting things about, could we pick a topic or some shit like that, something to focus on maybe as a group, as a whole, and really work out solutions for. And I realized so many different issues appear to be so important, you know what I mean, that come up. And it's a wonder why unity is difficult, because there's so many real reasons to pull together that were pulled apart. And perhaps that's part of the offensive of the other side. I would argue with you to tell you that it is, to keep us divided in factions amongst things that feel desperate to the heart, that feel real. But yet somewhere beneath all of it all, we're beneath all of our movements, is there some common thread of what we're trying to do, what we're trying to change, or what we want to move to. A lot of my principles get crossed with what's happening today, you know, and a lot of factions, but a lot of faucets of life, if you will. But, you know, when I listen to people talk about something's coming, you can feel it. You'll hear people talking about, I don't know, something's going down. I don't know. Some people talk about it as being the end of something or an eruption of war or something. They just feel something. And that's true. But then I think the target's off. Because what I think, here's what I usually say. I'm bad at parties. I know you just want to eat your hamburger and drink your fucking whatever. And then I start talking about this world change shit. And next thing you know, you're like, who the fuck is this guy? But it's hard to eat a hamburger these days even. But the change. Man, there's too much to change. And I went mind blank for a minute, to be honest with you. My mind spaced out so much on talking about that. I lost my own place. I was leading into change and factions and tribal change and a real leadership and something about what we're facing. And, oh, man, that's what you get for going live sometimes, man, when your mind's too spaced out on about 50 fucking different things and about trying to find something that changes or matches. Fuck, I'm trying to walk myself back. Where's my Steve? This is where you can usually reference somebody and be like, hey, yeah, what were we talking about? And I actually posted that I was more prepared to do a podcast this time. You know what? And then the notes go dead on you. You know what I mean? When you're going live. Of what you're connecting. Oh, man. I was hoping he'd come back. Sounded like I was building up to a really good fucking point. There probably was. Probably were something. Maybe it'll come back here in a minute, but shit. For now, you know when you force the thought, it doesn't come back? What are you thinking about too fucking much? But I don't know. I know one of the first things that was something on that list was about, you know, what change or what movement, you know, we could really make or what principles are being crossed. I think it was somewhere along those lines I was talking. And trying to find a united movement. That's where I was going. And they were keeping us divided on purpose, you know, about something that's real or honest or what we can make a change about even, what we could do. That's right. And what was coming. There it is. Bam. Got it. So the change that I tell people is, look, nothing's coming. That weirdness that you feel, that war or whatever the fuck that you feel yourself talking, well, I don't know what's coming. It could be war. It could be this. It could be that. I don't know. Listen, nothing is going to fucking change because the top 1% that's running this country doesn't want it to change right now. So they like to keep it just enough in chaos and disarray and duality to where we're busy fighting amongst ourselves in so many ways that we don't pay attention. So listen, if you're the one that's out there going, I don't know, I feel a change coming. Something bad's going to happen. It's all going to go down. I don't know what. No, it's fucking not. They want you just that scared enough to where nothing does go down. And that's the truth. The only fucking thing you're feeling is what I'm trying to let you know, is what you're feeling is your need to have to do something different, that you know shit is wrong, that you know shit is fucked up, and you know something has to change. So what instead of taking that on as personally or individually, we project that out by saying, I don't know. Something's going to change. War's going to pop off. We're all going to go crazy. Something's going to happen. I don't know what. If this person gets in office, if that... Listen, nothing's fucking changing, dog. You can put any one of them fucking monkeys in office and nothing's happening, bruh. I wouldn't be surprised if they pulling a rope-a-dope on you, bruh. I think Trump was a joke and then accidentally worked and then they were like, fuck. And then Trump's like, ah, that's my people. Look, it won't matter. It's all the rope-a-dope, man. The more we're looking over here, the more they're just over here, right? This shit doesn't fucking matter, man. I mean, so, oh, it's, it doesn't. It just, it doesn't. Oh, that's too many topics, you see? Without the notes, I'm trying to be structured, trying to be intro, and I lose my train of thought again. But, oh, it irks me. So that change that you feel is inside of you that's going, hey, something should fucking change and be different for your children, for your child, if you have one, your grandchildren. Something's got to be different. But instead, we project that responsibility onto Muppets that they call presidents that are supposed to do something and representatives that are supposed to do something as, you know, represent you, which impossibly they don't. So we put all our faith in these things and then we become let down, become jaded, become bitter. And then we say things like, I don't know, war's coming. I don't know, civil war's coming. I don't know, all this crazy shit, something's about to... No, there's not a fucking thing going to happen unless we make something happen. That's it. Otherwise, get used to your speech. Get used to your routine, because it's going to be the same. Bitching about what you hoped would be different. Claiming you're making a better world for your children. Same here. And realizing we perpetuate the same bullshit they sold us. It's hard to wake up, people. It is. It's difficult. It's. Oh, I can see why people don't want to as well. But so if you're at a party or at a place and you hear that person going, something's coming, just shut. No, it's not. Not until you are ready to put this fucker on right here and make something change. Until that happens, until enough people say, fuck it, enough is enough, nothing's going to happen, dude. At the most, the world is just going to continue to hate us even more. That will happen. But hey, whatever, we're number one, right? So, you know, I was going to come on and kind of talk about what the mission was, what TCR is trying to do, what the tribe can do. And that's why I put it on that group. You know, what could we do? What's something we could focus on? Use this kind of the power of the most fucked up. If you're in the group, no offense, but what's that mean that I started the group? Does that make me the most fucked up? I don't know. Since I apparently have some kind of gift with the most fucked up, I'm going to tell you, like, look, if you're called the most fucked up in life, you're probably doing it right, because the sheep tend to look at the one that walks the other way that way. So I don't know. We either all are crazy, or I don't know, or we really are in a fucking matrix. I don't know. I had a bunch of fucking topics to rampage down, man. But we still have power, but the phone doesn't have power. So I ran out of topics, truthfully. But that was one of the topics that I do remember, though, was that idea of nothing changes unless we make it change. Unless, you know, we really pull together to want to do something different. Until we decide, then nothing will change. I mean, do we think the top 1% is just going to go, oh, you got us. Oh, man, you devils, you little rascals. You got us with your signs and stuff. Man, okay. Well, you know what? We'll give you the power back that our grandfathers spent years in the making and keeping segregated from everyone else, and the power control that we have and the most of the wealth in the world. Yeah, you're right. You got us. We'll just, here you go. Here you go. And all those corrupt politicians is like, you know what? You're right. I took money from lobbyists to push this agenda. I did sign these bills, which now restrict this, plus your freedom and your privacy. Da 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 da. But hey, terrorism, 9/11. I mean, that, right? That's it. The podcast go-to, or the podcast, the political go-to. So, did you vote on those 10 bills that took away most of the freedoms of these so-called free American citizens? Well, yes, I did. 9/11. It's fucked up, man. Using those fucking tragedies as talking points in their political defense. But look, nothing's going to change, man. Nothing's going to be different until we do something different. Until we live differently. Till we buy differently. Till we consume differently. Till we treat each other differently. I can't see the Lord of the Flies ending the way it did if there was just one faction. But there were two parties in the Lord of Flies. And we all know what happens. I think the longer we keep the duality alive in this world, and the further we dissect that into more blocks and more divisions, and the more we separate each other, the further we get, I think, from any kind of unity or understanding or acceptance or support. You know, in a lot of ways, our behavior relates mostly to the ant. You may not know that. I didn't know that until someone smarter than me told me that. But the way the ants live and operate wouldn't be as strong if one or two or a faction of the ants decided to live differently. The group wouldn't work. We've all seen that cartoon movie, right? What is it, Ants? And that leaf falls down while they're all walking in line, and the one ant leaf divides them, and the ant looks up, I'm lost. You know, it's not about following the leader per se, but it is supporting the one in front of you and under you. And a lot of the way that we live, a lot of the way that we raise our children is to beat the one in front of you while standing on the one under you. How long can a nation live on that philosophy? How long could a tribe survive living on that philosophy? That I have to trump the man in front of me or the woman in front of me while standing on the shoulders of the one under me. If success is deemed that in this country, which it is, performance and results overtake intention. If that's what we're measured on, God help us, man. How long can you perpetuate a system if you ran a tribe or a family on that same ideal? That my idea is to do better than you, provide more than you, while standing on your back, while trying to eat the person in front of me. I did a video not long ago about locusts. How locusts don't really swarm. That's just what we call their behavior. But that a locust is really a grasshopper until it's touched. And when the grasshopper is touched and feels that social connection, because grasshoppers are isolated animals, insects, they then begin to morph to a locust. And when the grasshopper changes to a locust, we all know it can eat. And a locust will be a cannibal. It will eat its own kind. So when locusts swarm, what's happening is those locusts in the front are searching for more things to devour while running from the locusts behind them and behind them and behind them, because the locust behind them is chasing the locust in front of them to eat it, while being pushed by the locust behind it. So the swarms are really just one big cloud of cannibalism. And I wonder, and maybe you question, if the values that we teach, that what our society portrays to the rest of the world, is that of, I will eat you when there's nothing left, and I will stand on you while I eat what is left. That's a difficult philosophy to run a sustained country, tribe, or family on, if you ask me. I think they call it competition or something. Strong survive, okay. Darwinism, evolution, right? The strong survive then? Well, then forget medicine. Well, then we should dump all the medicine. So if you believe in the strong survive, then any one of your family members that are sick, that medicine helps keep alive or keep healthy, dump it, because they should go, right? According to that theory, they should. But it seems like that's what we do, based on nationalism and borders we create and shape, based on financial structures and resources that we try to allocate, based on war pressure and power. We enforce those beliefs or those shapes and that nationalism, that we are better than you, that these borders that we have created, this team that we have made. That's when you get war. Right? I mean, you can't have a football league without teams, right? How do you have a League of Nations without fucking teams? Well, League of Nations has got fucking teams, let me tell you. Sometimes those teams team the fuck up. You know, I posted something about, or shared something, I should say, something about
you know, leaked information, how the Pentagon paid for fake terrorism videos and shit. That's some serious fucking shit, people. And the country goes, what happened to Kim Kardashian? It trips me the fuck out. I mean, if someone told you that, I mean, watch the movie for V for Vendetta. When the guy looks at the other guy and he's like, what if I told you the government was responsible for three Waters and the other one, right? You would lose your fucking mind. And so when something gets leaked that terrorist videos were created by a PR company and paid for to instill fear, we don't say anything. We share nothing and the media says nothing. To me, that sounds like the biggest fucking story of the, I don't know, for fucking ever. Nothing. Nothing. Let's say it's half true. Is it still front page? Yeah, I fucking think so. The denial. It's almost like people want to hate, maybe. It's like, maybe it's the food we're all used to. Maybe we're used to the fear food. And so they feed us the fear food because it tastes good because we have adapted to walking around angry all the time. Maybe we've done that. So we like walking around with a target or an objective, right? Because let's face it, the status quo life that they preach you to live doesn't let you be very primal. Let's face it. You know what I mean? That's why, you know, you're not doing the stuff that feels human. That's why you want to travel and do all these things, right? What if that's what's keeping it back? That's some left field shit. It's true. Man, I'm really wishing I had the rest of those topics because I had some shit to go down, man. I'm trying to remember in my head now. I know one of them was a minimalist topic. One of them, I think I was linking also to the millennials about some blame or something. There's one more, though, at the fucking top that I'm trying to remember from memorization at the very top, which is the main one I may have fucking even talked about. I don't know. But it's amazing, man. You never know. You got to be careful when you fucking cut this shit on live. You're like, oh, make, you got a million things plugged in the studio. And the one thing you don't have plugged in is the fucking phone. The one thing you need for the notes, right? Trying to be more structured in the rampages, but I don't know. That means I can't even like check the weather to see how the storm. I'm just listening for like a cow to float by or some shit by the window. And they're like, oh, okay. I think Matt's here. Matt's coming to hang out. Is it okay to like shorten the name of a hurricane? Can you say Matt? Is that rude? I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. All right. So what if Matt and Nicole got together? Do they rename the storm? You know what I mean? Like, what do you call the storm then? If it's Nicole and Matt, what did you, Mickey? It would have to be like pansexual, right? Because you, I mean, do you make the storm then the male or just the next name on the list? That's what they do, right? It's just the next name on the list. What kind of shit is that though? Can you imagine the storm? I mean, people forget Ivan, I think it was, that hit the state like three times back in some time. You remember if you're listening, you're like, oh, that was 2019, whatever. But I mean, that they thought that storm was just going to like, oh, it's going to go by. Oh, shit, it's coming back again. It came back. Oh, shit. Right. That shit crossed over a lot. It may not have been Ivan, but I mean, it's funny when I listen to weathermen try to talk and predict what's happening. All right. In 5 days, it can go anywhere within these 2000 miles. If you really look at the cones when they show you the tracking, if you measure the distance that cone is showing, holy shit. Come on, man. It's like a little league umpire. That's a big fucking zone you're working with there, buddy. You know what I mean? But they're always so certain. They're like, oh, it's definitely going to move this way. And they wake up in the morning. We're like, well, actually, I heard them on this one where they said the storm's going to weaken. And then it got stronger. And then they put out, well, the storm weakened, but it's expected to get stronger. What? I didn't even know what that headline was. I'm like, wait a minute. You said it was going to get weaker. It got stronger. Your answer to that was the storm weakened, but it's getting stronger. It was like you were kind of right. I mean, I don't know what the fuck that means. I'm telling you, No, look, well, maybe a lot of offense to weather dudes, or maybe a lot of shout out to weather dudes. Maybe that's like the job to do, right? Because really, what are you fucking doing? I can stare at a radar, look at the way the Gulf Stream, all the different low pressures are moving. I can go like, more than likely here. And I can give you a cone that's within 2,000 fucking miles of where the fucker's going to land. And you pay these bitches $100,000 to do that shit. Stand on a green screen like this. Like, well, down here, well, Florida, it's fucking still hot. You know what I mean? Florida's got to be one of the easiest weather people. It's like, well, it rained at 2 p.m. Surprise, surprise. Imagine that. Oh, it's in the summer. It rained at 4 p.m. today, but for 15 fucking minutes. It's back to sticky hot grossness. Back to you, Jim. I mean, come on. I'd do the fucking weather in Florida. It's fucking easy. But if you're tracking that shit, it's a trip. When you're watching it, man, and you're seeing how it's moving, if you're kind of reading the weather and watching what Nicole's doing, Nicole looks like she don't even want to fuck with Matthew. Nicole's like, I'm out. You know what I mean? Matthew says some fucked up shit. And Nicole, like, is busting a U-turn. You know what I mean? He did that. He probably did some bullshit-ass construction call. Like, what's up, chick? You know, what's up, shorty? And Nicole's like, I'm out, dog. Nah, we ain't good. And so she looks like she's turning around. And, you know, they evacuated a lot of the East Coast, Southeast Coast. I think even all the way up to, like, Indian River, they evacuated. And we're only, 30 minutes from the Indian River, kind of on the east side of Orlando, way east side. So, I mean, at any minute, that fucking storm can just kind of go, I'm going to go left, you know, and cross over anytime and do anything. So it's really dangerous, man. And a Cat 4, it's a big fucking hurricane, too. I mean, it's not a baby. There's some, you know, twos, threes that have been touching around and coming around. But, I mean, imagine if this Cat 4-ish breaks off into the warm water into the Atlantic. It's going to get bigger. And then Nicole has a change of heart. And Nicole's like, well, since I'm in the Atlantic and nobody's watching, you know what I mean? Nicole could come back. And then we can call the Hurricane Pat. Would that be fair? Would people get mad at that? It's not gender specific. Mickey, I thought, was good, right? We can just call it Mickey. And then you got this big fucking... Mickey would be fucking perfect. And then Mickey could, like, show up at Disney World and fuck it up. Wouldn't that be some shit if, like, Hurricane Mickey formed from two storms getting together and then decided to go right at fucking Disney World? That would be some shit. Oh, man. You got to laugh at some shit. I don't know. Maybe that's just funny to me. I don't fucking know. But what are you doing? Like, do you got, like... Do you light the candles just because... I mean, just because you buy 50,000 candles, do you be like, you know, do you buy them? I don't know. What do? Do you sit around and play cards? Are you drinking? What are you doing? Hell, that's, well, shit, I would check fucking social media, but I can't. Phone's dead. But I don't know. What's your fucking routine? What do you usually do, man? Like, this is like the first hurricane podcast I've ever done where I've just hung out and been like, hey, there's fucking storm coming. Let's turn on a bunch of electronics and hang out in a room by the window. No, it's probably not smart. But I said we'd be podcasting till this one. Did you hear that? What the fuck was that? We'd be podcasting till like, till the storm made landfall. Has it made landfall? I don't know. There could be a tornado outside right fucking now and I don't know. I have headphones on and I'm talking to this thing. I think it was hilarious. Somebody posted on YouTube that they were listening to one of my rampages and they were like 20, 30 minutes into my rampage. And then they posted, you know, I listened for like 15, 20 minutes till I realized you were talking to yourself and it made me chuckle. And they used the word chuckle. That shit was funny. That shit's funny. Because, I mean, maybe you got to be a little crazy, really, to sit here with headphones and talk to yourself. Do you talk to yourself? Quit fucking lying. You know you talk to yourself. Right? I mean, you don't have other names for yourself, right? That's not normal? No. They probably define that with something. But I mean, so what's your hurricane routine, man? Did you board up the windows? Did you go all out? I forget the fucking name of the hurricane last year. We were down there in Marco Island. I lived there for a couple of years. And, I mean, we went nuts, dude. I had all the shutters up and shit. Like, we had this pool deck on the back, right? And you could build this shutter, went all the way across. I mean, we sealed up the whole fucking house with these damn aluminum shutters. It was dark as shit. You're, like, sitting in this concrete thing, like, fuck, I feel like a roach. You know what I mean? You're waiting for the storm to go by. I'm like, I'm going to go out. I got to take off one of the panels. I need light. It was like fucking 28 days later or some shit. I gotta go outside. It's weird though. I'm still waiting on all the YouTube videos that are going to come out over the next week or two of the weather people that are standing there going, it's really fucking windy out here, Jim. And some fucking hits them. There's going to be like 38 million of those fucking videos. I was watching this dude standing in the street of the Bahamas. And he's literally like leaning forward like dude's playing Superman. And I'm like, look, you could just tell me it's windy, bro. I believe you. Like, for real. I wouldn't because you're a weatherman. I mean, but do we distrust our meteorologists that much that we need the reporter to stand in the way of flying stop signs and literally try to walk against air? It's fucking hilarious. I'm sorry, but you know you fucking watch those videos too. Don't fuck around. Act like you're on Facebook and you're flipping through and you see that reporter talking shit and it's windy and you're like, I don't want to watch it. I probably shouldn't watch it. I'm gonna watch it. Bam! And they get, you're like, I fucking deserved it. That's what you get. It's fucking hilarious, man. I'm sorry. There'll be a lot of those videos too. I'm gonna try to find my fucking favorite one over the next week or two. Somebody trying to talk in a microphone. Well, we're standing out here. And Jared on the ding. Stacy? I don't know why I used the name Stacy, but I did. They should keep the video running too. I want to know what like happens after they get fucking shit knocked out of them. You know what I mean? Like they cut back to the dude at the station with that plastic face. Like, well, hello. And she's dead. Now this. It's funny. I mean, and think about it. Imagine my love goes out to these news anchors, right? That do local news. You got to think. I mean, look what you do for your job every day, what you go to 5 days a week, work day in, work day out, et cetera. The routine, right? If you're a roofer and you're driving around, you're fucking looking at roofs. Like, what the fuck? That roof's fucked up. No, look at that. That's shitty, right? So, I mean, imagine that is your job and you're this anchor and you have to sit at this teleprompter and somehow make sure that you don't react with some facial response to whatever you're reading so you don't offend somebody, right? So these local newscasters have to become these robots. These, you know, this plastic face. But you got to think about it. If day in and day out, 5 days, 6 days a week, right, whatever, you have to go on and you got to read. And come on, if I don't watch the local news. Come on. If you do, what the fuck? It's like reading Us Weekly. No offense. Kind of. But you know what's coming. Someone died. Someone got hurt really bad. Someone's out there to get you. But they saved this little girl today. You know what I mean? The fucking ads, too. And it's like, so it turns out the rapist is still out there. More at 11. Well, wait, what? What the whole rapist out there? Where? It's like fucking 2 p.m. You know? So you're a newscaster, and you got to read story after story like that. With some bad, you have to keep such a poker face, almost like it's bad plastic surgery. Because you got to smile, right? When it's the happy green story, somewhere nestled there real neatly in between two scare the fuck out of you local stories and somebody that did some shitty thing. And so you got to go from like a 3-minute story that's fucking tragic. And today, something tragic really happened. And they'll be holding services at the such and such. And our hearts really go out to them. And tomorrow afternoon, Channel 9 is going to be downtown Lake Eola. We're going to be, I mean, seriously. What the, that's some schizophrenic shit. Imagine that's your job you did day in and day out. You had to basically transform all these stories. Keep it Twitter safe. That's what I'm going to call it, Twitter safe. Meaning you can do it and no activist or some rights of somebody's going to say that you were fucking misappropriating somebody's idea. You know what I mean? So to keep a Twitter safe, you have to keep that face, but you also can't show any emotion either, right? You can't show the null emotion because then if you're reading these heartfelt stories and you're just like stone face, people are like, oh, this fucking doesn't even care. So you have got to have this like sad thing going. Then like the very next story, it's like, Good Morning America. It's fucking awesome. Coming up, these two fucking tragic fucking things, this awesome invention, and look what you can't afford. It's fucked up. It's like clockwork, dude. It's crazy. I would like to crawl into the mind of like Bob Obsahl. We miss you, Bob. Bob, hope your retirement's going well, Bob. I always liked Marla the best, I have to be honest. I was raised with Bob and Marla Luis, and I'm a Marla fan. I know. What about Bob? I get it. Bob Obsahl, you're the shit. You're awesome. But Marla, love you. I think they did you dirty. I think you could have stayed wherever you were. They did you dirty, but you moved on. This went on a tangent of my local newscasters. But seriously, I'd like to interview one of them. If they could, I don't know if, could you even be like honest? Could they be real anymore? You know what I mean? Like talk to a lifelong radio guy. Talk to a lifelong radio guy. And they're going to tell you just like this. They're going to talk to you the same way at the barbecue as they do on the microphone. I mean, I'm telling you, Jim, it's the way that it just adapts to your living that you become that person. You know, it's really scary. But when you take behavior and you mix it constantly and every day, it's really hard not to, you know, adapt to being that person. So my point is, if you could talk to one of those, I've had a lot of points, but if you could talk to that news reporter, that caster for like 30 years of local news, that's had to go from story to story to story. And they generally know what the news is for they're reading it, but they have to go from like, we're excited, we're sad, we're concerned, we're investigating, we're checking out, is it the truth, right? I mean, you got to switch from all these fucking emotions. I got to imagine after 5 to 6 days a week of doing that for fucking 30 years, I bet you literally have like switches that you could like turn on the channel. Like, all right, Bob, give me Sunday afternoon news guy. You know what I mean? Give me, we're covering a tragedy for the next 2 hours guy. Give me, you know what I mean? Oh man, what a tangent. I'm pretty sure that's not on the fucking iPhone notes to talk about. But shout out to Marla Luigi and Bob Obsahl. We miss you. We spent many a hurricane with you out there, Marla and Bob. Cheers to those of you going through the hurricane with me too. Somebody messaged something. If possibly the storm is upon us and is joined and turned into some perfect storm triangle in the cognitive cave, thus will be blown away. Someone let your boy know, because I don't know. I don't know what the weather's doing. And what is it? 11:45. I think they were really like Friday, something like that. It's supposed to get a little nastier. Thursday, like the calm before the storm kind of thing. Not sure. I really had more topics to go into, and I'm rather upset at myself. Oh, look at that. I'm over it. Nah, I'm not upset at myself anymore. That's fucking awesome. Isn't that awesome that you can be like mean to yourself, but then also be like forgive yourself at the same time? Yeah, try it. It's not a bad thing to do. I think I'm out of rant. I got a lot more to fucking rant about, to be honest with you, but I don't know. It is kind of a hurricane podcast. I mean, the plan was to go live on there, on the Facebook too, shout out some topics, also get some emails that were posted, invite some people to join me on the podcast. But, yeah, it's dead. I can't do it. I wonder if I could pull up an email, and I'll just start fucking emailing people that are on my thing. Because, look, you know what? Let me see what I can find. Let's try something. I don't know. It'd be fun. Let's try it. We'll just email a couple people and invite them to join the podcast. People that I know are also sitting in the hurricane. I sent a couple emails out there, people. I don't know. Let's type in a name and see what happens. That person. I don't even think they like me. We probably shouldn't invite that person. Not that person. With Dr. Carl Hart, that would be hilarious. Hey, Doc, how you doing? We're sitting down here in a hurricane, hanging out. Definitely not going to talk about anything smart right now. At all. Let's see. Who else? We could give it a shot. Michael Wood Jr. We give a shout out to Michael Wood Jr. He was fucking awesome on the podcast, man. You should definitely listen to his podcast. I think he actually said he's going to really go for the Oakland Sheriff's Department thing. He may join too. send him a little shout out, a little invite. He may pop up. I don't know. Shoot me out another name. What do you got? What do you got out there, people? You can't use that letter again. Isn't it weird how you like behavioral repeat the same thing? My buddy Richard's over in China. I wonder if he's awake. I don't know. What time is it in China? Do you know? I don't know. We can figure out what time it is. I'm my boy too. Invite a couple people to a podcast. If you're on, so you know what I'll do here? Check this out. Just bear with me. I'm sorry this is live. It's probably fucking bullshit ass boring right now. But what are you doing? Nothing. If you're in Florida, you're sitting in a hurricane anyway, going like, why the fuck did they close everything now? That's what I was thinking. I know I was sitting around like, wait, I thought it was supposed to like, wait, everything closed like 6-7 tonight. I'm like, what the fuck has happened? It feels a little gun shy. Feels a little soon. A little soon. I don't know. I can see, though, why people after a while would just be like, dude, every hurricane that got made in the Atlantic, they said was going to fucking terrorize us and kill us and overtake us and never shows up. And I can see why people get like lackadaisical about, you know, being prepared for it or anything like that. Or, I don't know. And then one time, right? That's how it works out. You don't get prepared for it. You don't get ready. You know, you just go, oh shit. And it's there. But, I don't know. What's your hurricane ritual? I don't know if we have a ritual, really. It's really like just get your shit together and get a lot of fucking water before everybody else does. Ah, that was one of the topics. Bam. Give it time. Wait for it. Wait for it. Water. I was driving around yesterday or last night. No, two nights ago. And we got a shitload of water at the house anyway. But yeah. Anyway, we were driving around. Hey, you're live, by the way. What's up, Brett?
Oh, dude, what's going on?
You're fucking live right now, dude.
Live on what? The Cognitive Rampage?
Yes, sir.
Oh, timing. Okay.
I was just fucking inviting people on a whim, dude.
All right.
Good morning to you. How you doing there, buddy? Ladies and gentlemen, this is CM Punk, who's decided to join the podcast. I've been trying to get CM on for a long time, but CM Punk, welcome to the podcast, man.
Yo, what's going down, Lowry?
Man, so I'm so glad they paid you so much money to get in there and lose, man. That's awesome.
Oh, I don't lose. There's always winning somewhere.
No, that's funny, man. I'm kidding. So what up, dude?
Oh man, dude, I was just kind of winding down, getting ready for bed, and then all of a sudden my tablet starts blowing up, and I was like, "What the fuck is this?" And we're live on podcast, right?
Yeah, AY and YouTube.
Okay, so I was like, "What the fuck is this?" And I was like, saw it was you, and I was like, okay, so.
Well,
I thought something wrong, you know. Like, I thought something like that's why I answered, because I'm like, wait, it's almost midnight. I'm like, holy shit, what's going on?
Well, I'm glad you love me like that, man. No, yeah. I'm just sitting here hunkered down on the fucking hurricane time, dude. And I figured I'd bug you.
All right. Well, yeah, it just kind of passed us because we were having some pretty intense wind and rain and stuff for about an hour, and then it passed, and now it's just, I think it's kind of winding down a little bit.
Yeah, well, I haven't told anybody or anything about what you and I are working on.
Only one person knows down here, but she's helping me with grabbing some sponsors. So, yeah.
Do we say anything now?
I want to be a little bit more coherent. but no, I was actually going to, make a prelude post, cause I read the new, or I read the email. I actually printed it out this afternoon, knowing we were going to be having a little conference call tomorrow. And, dude, this stuff is as if it almost felt like I wrote it with your flavor. You know, it's just like it's exactly what was in my brain on paper.
Beautiful, beautiful, man.
The more way it's laid out.
I'm like, this shit is going to be serious, man. Like, I'm so looking forward to doing this, man. Well, look, cat out of the bag. Brett, my boy here, everybody watching from ESPN Radio, Fit Project Radio. Him and I used to do his show together in a few cities, but we stayed close. And him and I are jumping in the fight promotions, MMA fight promotions game.
Yep.
You're going to see me, Brett, and my boy Zach and Dan have been helping us out, two well-known guys in the game. But Brett and I are masterminding this motherfucker, man.
Yep. Yep. Having to, you know, just because this is going to be a, you know, a big piece on the plate, you know, there's a couple other things that need to be, you know, unfortunately let go or cut, you know, it is what it is. And not to be cut like as in goodbye forever, but more just like put on the shelf. And, you know, so that's what I've been doing here this last week and just sort of cleaning up my plate because there's, you know, there's four primary pieces that I want to focus on, and this is one of the four. And
twist that shit up. You almost got a dreddy going, man.
I know, right? You feel, that's how long it is, right? My beard has gotten so long right now.
I thought you were going to twist that bitch up. I was, dread it out, man. Dread
actually, it does. It almost gets that way. It's like getting like to a point where it's like that long. But look at that.
Oh man, well, we'll chat tomorrow, man. If we all survive this hurricane, dude. But I figured I'd email some people randomly in this Adam's Rampage episode, fucking 99, dude.
99,
bro.
Man, I'm 73. Hey,
you fucking 73. Fucking Noah. God damn, dog, you look like you're fucking 30 something, dog. What do you mean? You gonna live to like six? No, so 73 episodes of Fit Project Radio.
Yeah, including them all. Yeah, now that we've got a couple in Miami. So I'm gonna use code on this one that you're gonna understand, Adam. But I was talking. I just got off a video chat with the Ghost Rider. I did. So we'll talk more about that tomorrow. But yeah, I just got off video chat with Ghost Rider, and then like I said, I saw you pop up, and I was like, I did. I was like,
oh, now I'm putting two and two. Two and two is four.
No. I didn't think no, because Ghost Rider. I'll lay that out. Ghost Rider. She was going to bed anyway. But no, I saw your name pop up because then I was like, man, there's no way. There's got to be something coincidental. And I was like, oh shit, dude, I hope something's not wrong. So that's why I like I said, I jumped up and answered real quick because I was like, man, this, you know, everything comes in threes, right? So
well, I'm glad I could fuck a little bit, man. But no, I'm just randomly rampaging on the hurricane podcast, man.
All right. Well, man, big things. Like I said, we'll make the formal announcement. So TCR, man, we're gonna make this formal announcement here. Probably early next week. And then guys, you know, yeah, be sure. Hope you guys like Orlando because we're going to be tearing it up.
We're going to be in Orlando and Naples, brother. It's going to be killer, man. But dude, yeah, man, rest your head, dude. Appreciate you picking it up, man. Thanks for letting me fuck with you a little bit, dude. Love you.
Absolutely. Love you, dog.
Later, bro.
Bye.
Yeah, that's my boy, y'all, man. I sent out a couple random emails to a couple friends, man, just to fuck around. But that's Brett Richard from Fit Project Radio. You all may remember I was hosting the Orlando version with him on ESPN 580 at 9 a.m. on Sundays. And, I got busy doing a podcast, and it was difficult to balance both shows. But him and I are then coming back. We got a new show coming back. Actually, called the FML show. No, not Fuck My Life, but the Florida MMA live podcast. So there's a podcast and the radio show we're going to be bringing to you, hopefully, and our own fight promotion. But we're going to do something a little bit more formal in a week or so once we finalize some things. But yeah, there's a sort of announcement. So, but it's not like you've seen.
this is different, 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 different. This is not like some shit you've been to, I promise. Look, the UFC is the fucking UFC, all right? You can't duplicate that shit, otherwise you look cheesy as fuck trying to do it. So that's not the idea here. This isn't trying to replicate the UFC. This is something very different. Same rules, same ideas, same fight type ideas, but something different. Not the, not duplicating the UFC, if you will, in promotion, because look, they do it best, you know? You can tell when you don't put $1 million into the entertainment of lights and the music and the stage, okay? It just starts to look bad after a while. But anyway, that's kind of a new venture that Brett and I are heading off on. Zach, too, man. A lot of love to Zach Moore. My boy Zach got some love on the Doctor's television show, if you're watching it, man. One crazy, awesome, amazing transformation my boy went through, man, from like 350-something pounds. He's like 170 now. But they did his whole show reveal on the Doctors and all. Did some things on Inside Edition. They're talking about a reality show, too. But, you know, shout out to my boy Zach, man. He's been really humble and kind, offering his advice and showing me some cool things, how it works, how MMA matching works, how promotion works. And Dan, too, bro. A lot of love to you, Dan. Everybody knows Dan. If you know Dan in the fight game, he's all over the place, man. He's a veteran, too. He's been kind. And speaking of Dan, Dan made an introduction to a friend, and that friend sent me a product. And listen, I got a lot of advertisers that hit me up and send me shit, and I don't advertise it because I don't like it. And so if I don't fucking like it, I'm not going to fucking advertise it. I don't care about the money at all. But for the fucking, damn it, I like the fucking product. And I say that kind of pissed off because I'm not one for sponsorships or anything like that. You know what I mean? But I shit you not, this shit's fucking good. And I'm going to be honest, it had my stomach feeling money. It honestly like made me feel like it had cleaned me out. It felt like some hamburger that I had fucking eaten from McDonald's 3 years ago that was trapped in like the left side of my 32nd foot of one of my intestines. It feels like it kicked all that out. It was crazy, man. But look, I even got one sitting here, man. That's why I'm giving some love too. I put him on the thing too. Now this is non-money endorsement too, just so you know, I ain't fucking around. But I wish I had more light here, man. Hold on, let me try this old fashioned. Look, check that out. It's called MyCoTee, right? And that's T-E-A, right? MyCoTee, not like my goatee, right? But MyCoTee, check that shit out, dude. It seriously, it comes. They call it the nectar of the gods, which I thought was cool. But generally, shit like this tastes like shit. Let's just be fucking honest. I mean, it's all natural. It's mushroom probiotic drink, man. It's ridiculous. Probiotics, if you know anything about me and gut health, and I talk about that, the gut is the second brain. What's in your gut will respond to how your brain functions, your body, etc. So probiotics are a big deal, man. They can stop you from getting sick. They do a lot of things. So my goatee, I'm telling you, look, it sounds fucking crazy, but it's really, I'm serious, man. I drank, it tastes good too. Be honest. Some of those things, you give it a shot, right? You're going to like Publix or like Whole Foods and you're like, hey, that looks like a healthy drink. Yeah, it has a cool picture. I could use those vitamins I can't pronounce. You buy the drink and then you're home and you sip and you're like, what the fuck? You can't drink it. My goatee doesn't do that. It's I really, look, I'm just being honest with you, bro. I'm sorry. I really expected to open the shit, sip and be like, what the fuck is in that shit? You know how you got to just like imagine to your, all right, this is healthy. This is good for me. Just get it down. Get it down. Plug your nose. That shit doesn't work either, by the way. The whole plug your nose, don't taste it thing. Maybe I'm not doing it right. I don't know. But my goatee, it fucking tastes good. I was very surprised. And especially when you know that it's like made with the mushrooms and stuff, but you still see it's clear like that, right? You see right through this shit. So it's water, basically. You know what I mean? But, and look, like I said again, you know, I'm just giving this a shout out because I started using it and I liked it. He sent it to me. I fucking loved it. But my goatee, check this shit out, man. Look up. Can you see that? There you go. My goatee. Look that up online, man. Just type that in. You'll find that purple bottle around. But for real, I've been drinking them. I mean, it's good shit. I dig it, man. I even sound like weird endorsing something, right? It's like shitty. I don't endorse anything, but it's fucking good, man. I'm serious. I drank like 4 in like 2 days, right? And I Well, that's kind of a pun. I shit you not. But I shit you so. I literally was like, man, I feel lighter. Like my stomach felt healthier. Like I felt like whatever I was dropping off, it wasn't the kids at the pool. You know what I'm saying? I was dropping off some shit that had been in my intestine for like a hot minute. And I'm like, fuck, I feel lighter. I feel better. And I got like an energy from it too, which is weird. They don't claim to have any of that shit, but maybe it's just because I was lighter. I don't know. But looked at my Code T up, man. So shout out to my Code T, really. Appreciate it. Send me a whole case of that stuff. And like there's boxes of stuff. And I try everything. Everybody that sends me stuff, I promise you, I try every fucking bit of it. You send me something, I taste it, I try it, I use it, etc. And I like this shit. So I had to give him a shout out, give him some love, man. So, and you know, to all the hustlers out there, man, to those people pushing a product, pushing something you invented, something you made, your own business, you know, those grinders out there that are picking up the phones every day, pounding the pavement, you know, sending out free product, taking a risk. You know, you take a risk when you send a case of your shit away. You know what I mean? How many dope boys are like mailing off a key? You know what I mean? Like, hey, try this shit out. You know, it's not happening. But you take a risk when your small business is like that and you mail out product like that to shows like mine and others in hopes that they'll say something or they'll like it. You know, I sent my book to, 10 people that I love and respect. And some of those people even mentioned in my book and sent a lot of love, you know, like shit. And you would think, you know, just a thank you and it's nothing, dog. They just fuck you, you know. And I at least try to respond. If you send me a product, I haven't responded to you, fucking tell me, please. Let me know. I always try to get back and be like, hey, this is not my thing. Not into it. It's cool. Wish you luck. Love you. You know, I do that honest review for you, you know? So, I mean, shit, you haven't heard me read any products on the show since Onnit. I was reading the Onnit products a little less than a year ago, something like that, but I don't anymore. And so for me, I was very particular, but anyway, my Code T is good shit, literally. Both ends. It's good shit going in. It's good shit going out. Hey, Alfred, man, can you use that as your new tagline? It's good shit going in. It's good shit going out. Somebody trademark that shit. Man, enough shits already. But, well, it's midnight. The hurricane, I know, has made landfall. We have podcasted as it made landfall. I may, for shits and giggles, come back on in a little while and do another episode. I don't know. It's really, the shit is, I'm in Orlando here, like I said before. So the bad stuff's supposed to be here more like Friday. So overnight tonight, going until tomorrow, it's going to get bad. Maybe. Maybe it stays offshore. I don't know what the movements have been lately, so I can't tell you. This isn't like, tune in, the latest coordinates on Matthew are, I don't fucking know. No. Sometimes it's fun, though. You know, I will, you know what, fuck that. I will do podcast 100 when the hurricane shit gets here in Orlando. When it really starts to set off up here and gets close and it starts to blow, I'm going to go live then and make that podcast 100. Why not? Fuck it, right? But let's see, Tuesday, I will have on, Tuesday is going to be a trip for me, man. I have Stephen Tonti, who's coming on, look him up, young kid, did a TEDx talk type thing, a lot of detail to what he's talking about, you know, ADHD type definition or diagnosed, but then did a lot of difference, but looking at a different perspective, great guy. And then Dr. Peel, Dr. Stanton Peel is coming on. Great connection, talks a lot like I do about addiction, but deeper, has been doing it for years. Knowledge exceeds mine vastly, but I'm doing those back to back. So Tuesday at like 9 a.m. I have Steven, then at 10 a.m. I have Stanton, Dr. Peel. So you got those two podcasts coming up. Ben Hetty, Professor Ben Hetty is coming on the 25th, later on in October. My boy Stuart from the UK running I love the name Cerebral Ape, talking about some water ape theory, etc. He's coming on at the end of the month. Naudi and I were going to do a podcast tomorrow. We're not sure, his voice is really going through some shit because he's doing all those shows or all those classes and things. So he's kind of on the whim about doing it tomorrow, maybe a couple days after. Not to mention, we'll be in a hurricane. So, let's see. Dr. Gabor Mate has been booked. Dr. Gabor Mate has been booked on the Cognitive Rampage. Problem? Not really. It's just not till January. He will be on in January. That actually works out for us, too, because Chemical Incarceration, that audiobook, will be dropping around February. So I think it proper that it happened to work out that way, that Gabor Mate, Dr. Gabor Mate, is going to come on the podcast in January, closer to the release of Chemical Incarceration, Addicted to the Process, kind of a manifesto of my experiences working in the addiction clinics. But yeah, so they're coming on. Oh, let's see. There's a few different names, but the wall shut. Can't see the board. I'm just trying to think what's booked right now. If I'm forgetting you, I am so sorry. Let's see. Oh, Christian's podcast. Ooh, excuse me. Hiccups there. Christian's podcast that we filmed episode 98. I'm going to probably post tomorrow. That's an awesome fucking podcast. That was fun to do with Christian. We sat here in the cave and we talked for like two and change. That would be 2 hours and a little bit, about a bunch of topics. And one of them that got a lot of love when I did a little live video, you may be able to see the live video on the page, where Christian talks about an article that came out a while ago. A end-of-life nurse who'd been doing a long, long time did a study and interviewed over 1,800 plus people at the end of life and found that within those people, there were five very common regrets at the end of life. And on that podcast with Christian, 98, which I'll post tomorrow, you can watch it on YouTube right now. It's already up too. You'll see that dude hugging Einstein because he's, I use that one because he's a Mensa guy. He's smart as fuck. Anyway, but we talk about what those five regrets are. And trust me, you're going to be like, holy shit. You know, I tend to listen when old folks talk and old heads talk. I really fucking listen, man, because, you know, they got so much wisdom. They got so many years on us that, you know, if you've been through this maze already and you're at the other end, and you're looking back trying to drop me some advice, and I'm not fucking willing to listen. You're a piece of shit. You're stupid. You're not going to make it out. You know, even if the person you may deem as not being that intelligent with that age, look, there's still wisdom there in that time. You know, there's something there. So I generally listen, and I generally do, man, when those old heads are like, you know what, let me tell you something. You know, I'd urge you to find that so-called old person in your life, really. Grandma, grandpa, great-grandma, whatever. And sit down and literally go, what should I remember in life? Would you give me the advice that I should know? And see what they tell you. They probably love it. And listen to it, man. There's a lot of wisdom there. You can, you know, reframe it. You know, you can reframe that advice, restructure that advice to fit your beliefs, to fit your life, to more adjust or assimilate better to what you believe. You know, you can assimilate it better and feel it closer. But those top five regrets are pretty deep and they touch home for me. But Christian and I go deep. We talk politics, man. We talk about Christian and I went off, man. But it was good to catch up with Christian as well in the podcast. So I'm going to post that one tomorrow. That's episode 98. Shout out again to AB LaRoche. Thank you for coming on and sharing your story. That's episode 97, just behind this one. But that was difficult for you, I know. And sharing that story was a brave thing to do, right? Is knowing what will happen, but you go anyway, right? And you did. So shout out to everybody else out there in the hurricane. I'm going to cut this thing on and we'll do episode 100 to, is it episode 100? We will do episode 100 together back now tomorrow. No, I won't. That was radio guy. Yeah. So I'm going to check the weather, see where it's at. It's made landfall. We did what we said. We'd podcast and whether or not. I thought that hashtag was kind of funny, stupid, maybe. But we did. We podcast whether or not. Hurricane podcast episode 99, which means a lot. We're almost about to break our three-digit cherry, which means a fucking lot to me. This has been a hell of a fucking grind, people. Hell of a grind. Let me tell you. Oh. Shit, it's a fucking rough grind. Let me tell you, don't think that you're just going to start some podcast. You're going to start fucking doing this and that, and a million people going to be watching your shit. It's a tough grind. Let me tell you, it's a grind. But episode 99, and we made the grind. Moving to fucking three digits, 100, like it's partying like it's 1999. Episode 100, coming up when the hurricane comes. Hope you're taking care of you, man. Love you. Hope you're living your cognitive rampage. Thanks for listening to me fucking ramble and rampage.